This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to wake on up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Deep trade on three for Steph. Oh, he made it look stepperless. As the guys on Inside the NBA might say, that was 30 feet away, just right of center, and the Warriors lead by six.
Kevin Danna brings a smile to my face on the call last night right here in 95.7 The Game as your Golden State Warriors. They did look stepperless as Stephen Curry drops 28 and the Dubs win 114-102 over the New York Knicks. Knicks fall to 40-21. Warriors 34-28, clinging to that sixth seed in the Western Conference. Joe Shasky, happy hump day to you. It is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And shout out to all those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Yes, you can see the schnoz right here. Maybe looks smaller than Gary Payton's right now, who is dealing with the nasal fracture. That's okay. Get that mask on like Rip Hamilton. You'll be fine, GP2. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Joe Shasky, we're halfway home. We're feeling good. We're feeling great about this Golden State Warriors team. What's not to love right now in Golden State Warriors land? Although, the only thing I guess would say is Jonathan Kuminga. What's his status? And Anthony Slater's going to tell us that at 8:30.
The only thing not to like is the amount of random jerseys they wear on a weekly basis.
You don't like the ones he wore yesterday, their statement edition?
They're okay. I'm not a big red, white, and blue in any...
Looks Denver Nuggets-ish. Like, that's what it kind of looks like. The Mile High City ones, it kind of looks like that.
So you have to remember, the team jerseys when I was a kid were my favorite ones. It was the state with the ball.
Quick. I love when you go, you gotta remember, like you're 30 years older than me. It makes me feel so happy. You're only 10 years older than me.
But I do think this makes a big difference. Like, people that look at those We Believe era jerseys, which I call Depression era
Warriors. You associate jerseys. Them with sadness.
With Loserville.
Yeah.
With straight Loserville. Like, there's just no other way around it. Those are awful. Awful uniforms.
Okay.
Sorry. They feel good. No. When they had the We Believe run, the best jerseys they wore were the orange versions of those.
Right.
And they wore the city throwbacks, which I think are the best ones, the cable car. I think it's the best uniform in sports. I think they should go back to those, the yellow at home, blue on the road. Like, those are the ones they need to go back to. And so, for me, like, seeing those versions that they've created, although I like the font and I like that what they're trying to do, I'm just not big on it.
And I love the Knicks wearing their normal home whites. God, those look so crisp and clean. Again, two iconic franchises with iconic jerseys. The simplistic nature of it is what makes it so key.
The Warriors, for me, should go cable car on both ends. That should be their main jersey, right? That should be, and then they could have the Run TMC throwbacks as some sort of a city edition. Mm-hmm. You want to go with those black ones? That's fine. Okay, whatever. I don't think that you need the, you know, the We Believe era ones. I don't like those ones.
It's funny. I'm a little distracted right now. I'm not going to lie. Hashtag squirrel. Because in the studio, we have all the different TVs up. We have First Take. We have Get Up. And one of the things they have on right now is, should the West fear the Lakers or the Warriors more? If you said that about a month, again, if you said it a month ago, it'd be like, really? Those teams? Yeah. The Lakers and the Warriors are two of the hottest teams in basketball right now, if not the hottest, and look the scariest right now because of the star power and the brand of basketball both of them are playing.
It is crazy.
Dare I say that we're on a, again, I've said it, we could be on a collision course with Lakers, Warriors, Western Conference Finals. Getting ahead of myself here.
No, I don't think you are at all.
I don't think that sounds insane today on March 5th, 2025, the year of our Lord. It is Ash Wednesday, Joe Shasky. I hope you're going to service later.
I'm going. All right. I'll be heading over to St. Cecilia's at some point
today. No meat today, only fish. All right. So if you've already eaten meat today, that's not good. All right.
So, you know, I have a little bit of umbrage with that. Like, That feels, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we've realized, like, you don't have to take it word for word. It's more the parables and the metaphors and things like that, and it's the essence of the story. Are we sure about that whole fish and meat thing?
It's about fasting yourself. That's the whole point of, like, you're fasting.
Well, I'm giving things up.
Okay, well, what are you, you could give something up or better yourself in a certain way. What are you giving up?
I haven't really dove that deep into it.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking of giving up is, you know, I think I'm giving up my unbridled hate for all things, you know, Kansas City Chiefs for 40 days.
That's not a real
no,
one. I don't think if you tell that to the Pope, yeah, you know, I'm going to stop hating the sports team for 40 days.
Well, what I used to do back in the
day. That's really bringing your relationship closer to Jesus Christ.
Well, we used to have to do reconciliation, right?
And yeah, you go to the prayer.
Every single time, my go-to was, Father, forgive me for I've sinned.
Of course.
I beat up on my brother all the time.
Always.
I make fun of him. I need to be nicer to my brother.
And then what did you have to do? How many Hail Marys? How many
Our
Fathers? Yeah, do all these. Yeah, you'll feel better. We got a lot of people on the lines we want to get into.
This Warrior team is so much fun.
Well, that's what I was saying right there. I was just saying, the fact that that's the question on First Take right now, should the West fear the Lakers or the Warriors more? Fear both of them, frankly.
What if I did gave up just all my haterade for Lent?
No, we're going to need that.
Bitterness?
No, I need your bitterness. Come, you know, when we're playing the Lakers here in another month, I'm going to need that hatred and bitterness.
Okay.
With Luka, LeBron, I know you love Austin Reeves, the headband, all of that. And by the way, that was the lasting image of Andrew Wiggins getting blown by Austin Reeves.
So bad on Christmas.
You do?
I do.
You want them?
Yeah, because I
want
to shut up LeBron.
Okay.
You want that smoke?
You want that smoke? 50,000 for LeBron.
Luka and LeBron would be, if you won a championship this year with the Warriors and Jimmy got here and his fifth went through the Lakers, through LeBron, and through Luka, yeah, that would be the stuff of a Disney
short
movie.
Of a championship season, I think beating the Lakers in the playoffs would feel like a championship at some, like, it would feel like, you know what, I could, if that was the high watermark of Jimmy Butler beating LeBron and Luka in the playoffs, I'm okay with that. Now, you can get greedy. It's March 5th. I'm not settling for the 6th seed. I'm settling for maybe the 5th seed, maybe the 4th seed, which sounds insane. David in Maryland, he's excited about what he's seen from Stephen Curry. And by the way, don't forget, this is David in Maryland, his famous drop here on 95.7 The Game.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
And we're all doing what Steph wants us to do. We're all shutting up. Right, David? What's up, man?
How are you guys doing today?
You're great. It's a hump day, baby.
Bro, how great is this?
Yeah, man. This is so amazing to witness, and I'm so happy with what I'm seeing on the court, the off-the-court discussions. I mean, it just seems like the team has life again. So it's always happy to hear that everybody's getting along and that everything we thought about Jimmy Butler from the nightmare stories and that was not the case and that he's actually bringing a positive impact to the team. So it's always good to hear things like that. Now, before I get into what I wanted to say, I wanted to ask, the statement jerseys, are those the ones they wore last night?
Yes.
That's what those are. Those are the statement.
I think those are called the statement. We'll confirm that. City edition, statement. There's so many different names.
They're
for
a
them.
Homage, David. If you will, yes. To the We Believe era.
Okay. Well, I'm with, if those are the statement jerseys, I'm with you, Shafty. I'm not a big fan of those ones. I think as a representative of Twitter, Warriors Twitter, I can say that the white jerseys, the white and red ones, are the favorites. People do love those
ones. Okay, the ones last night, real quick, David, those ones were the city edition for this season.
Okay.
The statement ones are the all black with the yellow.
Those are their newer alternative.
Oh. Prior to that, remember the cow ones were kind of their statement ones?
Yeah, those were awful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Awful. Okay. Navy blue. Yeah, they look like West Virginia.
Yeah, right. Mountaineers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the black and yellow ones are cool. But anyway, let me get into what I wanted to say.
Sure.
I cannot wait for Jonathan Kuminga to come back. That is one part of this season that, I mean, though the Warriors have been clicking really offensively, I am very intrigued and interested to see on how Kerr is going to blend Jonathan Kuminga in with this team. And I do want to say that because you guys were speaking on, you know, First Take being on, I am a little bit disgusted with the way in which they are covering the Warriors, not really mentioning the fact that though they have been winning with Jimmy Butler, we don't even have, you know, we haven't even seen this team with Jonathan Kuminga yet, and nobody is mentioning the fact that our 17-point-per-game player has not touched the court since, what, January?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
David.
I don't know if Bonte needs to send a message up to First Take through, because, you know, he's up at NBC and everything.
Oh, yeah, no, he's tied with Stephen A.
The pipeline,
but
it's ridiculous. They need to start mentioning Jonathan Kuminga, because he is a very important part of this team, and he's going to give us a deep run in the playoffs. And one more thing before I let you guys talk. If we are going to the playoffs, I don't think I want to see the Lakers, at least not in the first round.
No, no.
I think I want to see the young guys get some burn in the first round and win a series then, and then potentially see the Lakers in the second or the third round.
No. This is how it's going to work. Let me tell you. This is how it's going to work.
Thanks, David.
I'm already plotting this, okay? So just hear me out, Warrior fans. We want to be in the 4-5 hole.
Okay.
If you go into the 4-5 hole.
We're getting a little arrogant here at March 5th, so we're going to tell you what's going to happen here in the coming months of the playoff schedule.
You want to avoid the Nuggets and Lakers in the second round. They're going to play each other in the second round, and then you get OKC. That's what you're looking for.
I don't fear any of them. I'll take them all.
No, you want the OKC matchup.
Whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I got Jimmy Butler. I got Jonathan Kuminga coming back. And what David's saying is, like, he's upset that he doesn't see his team covered more on First Take. That's okay. Lil Wayne said it best. Real G's, they move in silence like lasagna. All right? That's the Warriors right now. They don't need all the headlines. Let the Lakers, let the glitz and the glamour, let the Yankees. That's what they're going to do. You want to be slept on heading to the playoffs. I don't want anyone talking about my team. All right, out of sight, out of mind. That's what I like.
Yeah, but if you can, like, just hear me out on this. If you can get OKC, like, style of play, it'll be a great, you want to talk about ratings bonanza?
Oh, it would be awesome.
Even if you're just a fan of basketball, it would be amazing.
Well, you just think about the history between those two squads, too. Albeit Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, but also, like, blowing the 3-1 lead that they blew in Oklahoma City now. You have your best team since that squad, probably.
A decade later.
You got the MVP on that team now, and Shea Gilgeous Alexander. Yeah, there's a lot baked into that matchup, which I'm very excited about.
And then you just sit back and you let Lakers and Nuggets just take flesh wounds out of each other. And then after that one, you get whoever comes hobbling in. And then you have an opportunity to go face the Celtics.
Right. Well, they're not. Both teams would be hobbling in at that point. You'd think the Thunder and the Warriors, the athleticism just abound and the physicality in those ones. I'd be very curious to see how that series would unfold. And again,
Adam Silver,
Jonathan Kuminga.
Be salivating if it was Lakers Warriors in the Western Conference.
Well, he's salivating now that the fact that the Warriors have Jimmy Butler and the Lakers have Luka Doncic, and now they're the two teams that everyone wants to talk about.
I wonder what the ratings were. I know it was blacked out locally. I wonder what the ratings were for TNT. I know the ratings don't really matter. They've already paid for it. But I like Knicks, Warriors, early start.
Yeah.
You know, Steph in Madison Square Garden, I bet the numbers were through the roof.
Right. Let's go to our guy Brian, who's in Palo Alto.
What's BPA up, BPA?
Wants to join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Big win last night, Brian. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Dude, I'm so happy.
I think the reason that people aren't talking about Kuminga is I don't think anybody really knows what version of Kuminga they're going to get. Right? You're going to get, you know, sort of locked in. Committed Kuminga, you're going to get sort of sulky Kuminga, not happy about his minutes Kuminga. Nobody really knows, right? And it tends to go one way or the other. So, I mean, I view it now, to me, the most important young guy in the playoffs is Quentin Post.
Mm.
Because Quentin Post can take and I think the Nuggets are probably the worst matchup for the Warriors.
Totally agree.
Because Quentin Post can bring Jokic out of the lane, right? Which in the last couple of years he's just planted himself right under the basket and just mucked up the inside of the lane. And I think the Lakers, actually, I think the Lakers are a better matchup now for the Warriors than they were 2 months ago. Because I think with AD, the Lakers are, they're a better team probably, but with AD, AD was a problem for the Warriors.
Destroyed
them. Really struggled with him. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, you know? I mean, I think they're still probably a player away, right? Unless Quentin Post can really sustain this cut level of play. But that is, to me, the glaring issue would be a center, you know?
You don't think that Kuminga could be that player, though? Like, I understand.
He's in a wait-and-see mode.
You are in a wait-and-see mode.
I don't think he's being negative. Being like, hey, let's see what version of him we get.
Brian, if you get the Kuminga version you saw prior to the injury, you feel confident about this team going all the way?
I don't know that this is like that version of Kuminga, the Warriors, people were talking about, like, move on from Steph and go all in on Kuminga and whomever else, right? That was sort of the vibe.
That was
Steiny,
but no one else was saying that, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But it was bleak.
Steiny was saying that in, like, 2016, I think. But anyway. I think now the vibe of the team is this is 100% Steph's team and Jimmy and Draymond. Those are the guys that we're committed to.
Yep.
And Kuminga is now in a place where it's like, you can prove to us you're worth the money.
Yeah.
Right? But all our chips are not in on you, Jonathan. Right? I think that was... that's my opinion, right?
Well, he needs to play with a sense of urgency.
I don't have a lot of faith, personally, that he's going to come in and be this super duper impact player and not sulk about sort of how the tide has changed. I'm hopeful, but I've seen it too many times. So, anyways, have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
I was thinking about, is there a Steiny in Kansas City right now who's like, trade Patrick Mahomes, it's over?
Oh, my God.
Like, is there a Steiny in every market?
Well, I'll say this, as the Chicago Bears trade one of their all-pro guards, Joe Tooney, to the, or did I say Chicago Bears? The Kansas City Chiefs are trading Joe Tooney, one of their all-pro guards, to the Chicago Bears for a fourth-round pick in 2026. So they're doing some change in there. They franchise tagged the other guy, Trey Smith, that Baldy alluded to a couple months ago, that maybe the Niners should be interested in if he hits the market. But they're working on keeping their younger guard, obviously, out of the two and locking him up for the future. But it's a good point. Hey, it's Patrick Mahomes. Is this turning 30 soon? I don't know. How old is Patrick Mahomes, by the way? Is he even 30?
Who cares? I hate that guy.
You love Patrick Mahomes. You just said you're not going to hate him for Len.
I didn't get my ashes yet.
Oh, God.
Get it all out of your system today.
He's gonna be 30 in September. There you go.
Good. Hope he ages like cheese sitting out in the sun.
No, that's not what you want. Because when you age like cheese, it's going to taste better. So he'll get better.
Not when it's out in the sun. Well, age like mayonnaise sitting out in the sun at a 4th of July party.
That's better. Thank you.
All right. That's what I hope happens. You know what's funny about these things? Like, we talk about like Steiny and the salt.
My stomach hurts now.
I collect newspapers. At least I did for a long, long time. I have boxes of old school newspapers. I got earthquakes. Like, I'm talking about the
those are
earthquakes.
Antiques now. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got all these
papers anymore.
The different things. I collected everything. And so there was a point in time where I would keep the sports section and different ones. Obviously, they had to be seminal moments. And I was going through them a couple years back during COVID. The day that Steph Curry was drafted, he's standing there, and the front page, there was a guy that used to cover the Warriors, Steel, I forget the guy's name.
For what publication?
For the Chronicle. And he was, doing the beat or whatever, and he writes the article, it's Steph standing there with his jersey. The opinion column on that same day that Steph was drafted was Ray Ratto talking about how Steph was going to be a great trade piece for them to trade on deadline day or on draft day. And I brought that into Ratto, and he didn't believe me. I was like, yeah, Ratto, you had that opinion at that particular time. So,
oh, no.
There's a salty hater always everywhere.
I'm trying to find who that was. It's not that.
Wait, so what did Ray say when you, like, showed him?
He didn't believe it.
And did you, like, show him the physical article?
Not that I thought that Steph was going to be great early on. I thought, like, at high end, like, this is what I literally thought. Oh, he could be our Jason Terry, like, our sixth man off the bench.
The Jet!
A volume. No, but the Jet was good.
Yeah, he was.
The Jet was really good.
Yeah, he got a tattoo of a championship trophy before they won it in 2011.
Yeah, he was like a combo guard. So, like, I didn't really know. But that literally was the article. Ray Ratto speculating that he was going to be a part of a trade. Oh, it's a great pick. Now let's trade him.
Well, I mean, that was the Warrior way at the time. It was, oh, we have this really good player. Well, let's trade him for three really mediocre ones.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you kind of can't blame Ray.
Well, he's always going to blame Ray. He's still
well, you can, I guess.
He's blocked on social still, I'm assuming.
Well, I just think that Ray's a liar.
Rich is in San Jose.
So he didn't actually think Steph was a trade piece?
No, I just think that his entire everything, the whole motif that he's created, no one is that angry all the time.
Have
he says he's like, he just, he's full of crap.
You worked with him. You saw him every
single
day.
I think he's a mean person.
Oh, okay.
And I say it to his face.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I do.
He would take that as a compliment.
Why
would I just Ray, like, Ray, you're an incredibly mean person. He'd be like, well, so are you. Get out of here.
Yeah,
I'm
but
like, that's
all
love
his,
right
like,
there.
Motif. I think he's extremely insecure.
Okay.
That's just my personal belief. Actually, I can't stand that guy.
If he's insecure, then maybe you should have some more sympathy with him. Then there you go. All right.
No, I think that he's fake tough guy.
Again, this is Ash Wednesday. Maybe you need to find some forgiveness for one Ray Ratto in your heart. Open it up to Jesus. Rich is in San Jose.
Whereas Steiny would actually like give a person a hug.
Okay.
Like I do believe Steiny
he wouldn't
would.
Enjoy it though. Go ahead. Richie, what you got?
Yo, what's up, guys? I've been seeing a lot of Steph Curry GOAT conversations on Gilbert Arenas' podcast, Shaq on TNT. What would you guys say if Curry carries us to another ring this year? Where would he rank him? Past LeBron?
Wow. I think this is the clip he's alluding to. Sure, we can play it now. Thanks, Rich. I know what you're talking about. This is Shaq yesterday on Inside the NBA talking about Steph and the GOAT conversation.
You did say pretty emphatically earlier in the conversation for greatest player ever, you believe Steph should be in the conversation.
Yeah, he should be mentioned, as well as Kareem and the guy, but Steph should definitely be mentioned. In this world we live in with 8 billion people, everybody's going to have their opinion, Kobe, LeBron, Jordan, and it's all great. It's all fact-worthy, but Kareem should have definitely been in that category a long, long time. And now you got to put Steph in there. So I would like to hear 5 names, me personally.
I would say this. Steph is easily in the conversation for most enjoyable basketball watches.
No, we won greatest of all time. Like you talk about points and you talk about rings and all that. Steph is right up there in that. Got to start talking about him like that. Even if he's not your guy, I think you should just give him a mention. And not an honorable mention. The man got 4 chips.
That wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be. He's just saying he should be part of the conversation, which I think he is. Like, we talk about it here. When we say a top 10 player in the sport, those are the 10 greatest players of all time. And on any given night, they could be the best player ever, given just when you say the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, the Kareems, the Wilts, the Bill Russells. As I'm watching the Celtics series on HBO Max, it was really good. Just started the first episode about halfway through it. But yeah, Steph Curry is absolutely part of those conversations. Who's saying he's not part
well,
of
I
those conversations?
There's levels to it, right? So like to say that he's should be a part of the conversation is one thing.
Yes.
But to me, all of the greatest in basketball, what separates them isn't just the offensive proficiency. There's the defensive side of the ball.
Well, yeah,
right?
That's
like, when
a big
I look at Jordan,
yeah.
When I look at Jordan, if you're an NBA 9-time all first team. I mean, come on, man. You're talking about the greatest player on both ends of the floor for a decade.
Yeah.
For a decade.
That's baked into the Tim Duncan, right? Kobe was what?
That's where I was going to throw
9-time all
in
NBA
yeah.
first team. LeBron. Like,
Kareem. Right. When you're having these conversations, and that's where I do think that, like, the defensive, not that Curry is this giant turnstile for the entirety of his career. He's gotten better at that end. But when we're talking the greatest of all time, not only are we weighing the hardware, meaning the championship trophies and the individual trophies, we also have to weigh and factor in the defensive side of the ball. And so I do think in that aspect, he's going to come up short against the contemporaries that I would put in as greatest of all time. But I'm glad that he's a part of this conversation.
Well, the fact that he is his size and is a part of that conversation just speaks to him and how he's changed and transformed the NBA.
Sure.
And that's where it starts for me. If you are arguing him to be part of that GOAT conversation, it's how he transformed the sport.
Yeah.
Like he transformed
absolutely
this sport, like Wilt Chamberlain transformed the sport, like Michael Jordan as a two-way guard
yeah
transformed the sport. Like, but none of those guys, even again, Wilt probably is the only other one I can come at, like, just because of sheer size mm-hmm. and how it changed that and how you play basketball, how you guard.
But what was the game was going?
Well, was he, he can win the big one for a long time.
That, but and why? Because he was more, again, this was the perception.
Because he was more of a single entity exactly. on those Lakers squads and Philadelphia Warriors squads
and
than Bill Russell, and he was a team player. And they played within the team, Bob Cousy exactly. and all those guys.
The criticism was is that Wilt was worried about getting his. Yes. That's, whether that's real or not, I didn't watch it, so it's hard for me to, you know, who's right, who's wrong.
It's almost kind of like the Jordan and LeBron thing, right? Like,
yes.
LeBron, he was the individual best player in a lot of those
absolutely.
Series. But he didn't have the team around him. And so everyone, again, this is now compared to then and how social media has transformed and how we talk about the sport as a medium. We blame him for, you know, not being able to win it all, but just getting there is an accomplishment. Like for Wilt, we actually viewed it as an accomplishment. It was like, oh, well, those Celtics teams and Bill Russell, they were just a better overall round team. But Wilt, even after all that, how many titles does he have? Maybe like a couple, maybe one or two. I don't even know. But he's still regarded as a top five player in the league.
Absolutely.
Because of how he changed the sport. And you could use that to talk about Stephen Curry and how he changed the sport. Yeah, defensively he didn't, but offensively he changed it so much in a way, and being the greatest three-point shooter of all time, and it's a three-point driven league now, that you could make that argument about him being the greatest of all time, just given how he changed it.
Which I'll listen to the argument. Again, the fact that we're having these conversations is great. I think it's difficult in football because it's, hey, you play offense or defense, right? Like, most people in the modern era haven't played both sides
and
of the
ball. And we all agree when we talk about it, and I love...
Quarterbacks again, get weighed more.
We have Goat Fuel right here. Shout out Jerry Rice. The greatest of all time. If you want to say he has the greatest career as an individual athlete, but how we talk about the sport of football...
It's different.
It's different because we've all agreed in American sports and team sports, the quarterback is the most important position.
Not Lawrence Taylor.
Not Lawrence
Taylor. We don't put Reggie White or Lawrence Taylor at the top of the list, or Deion, or whoever you think
the
best.
We don't put Walter Payton.
Exactly.
We don't put Jim Brown. We do the quarterback because he touches the ball every single time. And it's Tom Brady, and it's Joe Montana, and it's Patrick Mahomes.
But in baseball, I think why Willie Mays' legacy has been so amazing decades and decades and decades after he finished playing is because he's also one of the greatest defensive players of all time, as well as one of the greatest offensive players of all time.
I want to pick this conversation up on the other side with Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, and that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by MB Jesse Painting.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Yo, what's up? This is Javon from San Francisco. I want to shout out my favorite morning roast, my favorite radio station in the whole Bay Area, in the whole country. 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Javon? I like how he says my favorite morning roast. Is there another one out there? I'd like to know. No, you know, don't even check, because I know there's only one. And it's the only. It's the roast right here with Spadoni and Shaz. We're going to be joined by Anthony Slater coming up here in just a moment. I was thinking of just a moment from, you ever see Office Space? Classic.
No, I've never seen Office Space.
Are you being facetious? I don't know. I'm just asking. Have you?
Of course.
Okay,
dude,
well,
it's
some
a
people.
Classic.
Yeah, but some people haven't. I made a Tom Green reference. My bum is on the Swedish, and they didn't know what it was.
How
so
do you,
have to
you
be
guys
careful.
Don't know who Tom Green is?
I know. They didn't get it, dude. They just didn't get it.
I haven't seen Office Space.
You've never seen Office Space?
It's all time.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Oh, it's so good.
It's
Michael Bolton.
List.
I celebrate
what
the man's
exactly
title
count. What exactly do you do here?
It's so good. What exactly is Anthony Slater doing here? He's talking dubs. He's joining us on the River Islands guest line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And you know what? Let's just bring him right into the conversation. No, not about Tom Green, My Bum is on the Swedish, or Office Space, which I'm sure Anthony is very well aware of both of those references. But did you hear what Shaquille O'Neal had to say in Inside of the NBA yesterday, Anthony? And good morning to you.
Good morning. How are y'all? He said something about how Steph should be in, like, the GOAT debate.
That's exactly what he said. He should just be, Steph should be in the GOAT conversation. Now, when we talk about that, you know, Shasky and I were debating, like, what constitutes being just in that conversation. Like, you have to be a top 10 player, which I think Steph checks that box. But what makes him so unique when we talk about these things is that not only is he, height-wise, the smallest of all the players in that conversation, but he's not a two-way player like almost all of them. He doesn't really play, well, he just doesn't play elite defense. Should that matter in that GOAT conversation, Anthony?
I mean, sure, everything should matter if we're talking about greatest of all time. One thing I'd say about Steph's defense is, I mean, it's been a decade now. He doesn't not play defense. He's certainly not, you know, a 6'8 wing who has been an all defender at any point, but he's capable on that end. He's been a part of many, you know, very good defenses, including, by the way, one right now that's been awesome lately. He's gotten bigger. He's always bought into the team concept. He tries. He's not really, like, obviously there have been times in his career, and I can definitely think of the Cavaliers finals where, you know, Ty Lue has attempted to pick on him to tire him out. But I wouldn't consider him a bad defender.
So I'm looking at this, and like Steph Curry in particular, his scoring since Jimmy, he's up almost 8 points. 3-point percentage since Jimmy. Up like 3-4 points. Shooting percentage up 8 points just overall. He's taking more shots, hitting them at a better clip. Their team turnovers are a little down. Their assists are a little up. Like, the offensive rating is through the roof. What is it about Jimmy Butler's game that's helping everyone? And Draymond, all his numbers, all of them are up, and he's more efficient. What is it specifically that's really helped the Warriors' offense?
I think it's a lot of things. I think more than, like, the strategic aspect of it is the mental side of it, right? I mean, I just think the idea that they've got a shot now has just, you know, juice clearly, you know, invigorated Draymond on the defensive end. He's just playing harder. He's, you know, guaranteeing championships and the various things. And I think with Steph, how many times in the mid part of the season when they were going 13 and you know, 26 over like a 39-game stretch, whatever it was, did you just see him deflated?
Yeah.
When he's when he's deflated, he's just not going to have as much pop. He's not going to come to the arena with as much, you know, belief that not only are they going to win that game, but they're playing for something bigger. Well, suddenly they're playing for something bigger. It's post All-Star break, which, by the way, he like kind of historically has had the post All-Star break bump, which is common in the league. The weather's warming up. The playoffs are getting closer. We're standings watching every night. So he just looks like really kind of mentally locked in right now. And I think that's related to Butler's addition, but I think that's also just kind of Steph Curry at various points of the season. He has like super hot streaks often at this time of the year. And then as far as like, you know, clearly Butler's low turnover, he's, you know, getting to the rim, which, you know, he is freeing some, you know, Steph up a little bit. Steph has said that he feels like all the possessions in general are easier and he's more confident getting off the ball and getting it back. Steve Kerr has talked about like the second side of plays, which maybe earlier in the season with the team they had, the ball wasn't getting back to Steph on possessions it should have. So I think there's a lot of things going on here. But honestly, I think Steph is, like you saw it last night, it's not like the Knicks are suddenly like, oh, we'll single team Steph Curry. No, like they're getting layups because Steph is still being double teamed. Jimmy's being able to get to the rim. So I almost think Steph's presence is helping more than the other way around.
Talking with Anthony Slater, Warriors insider for The Athletic and R95.7 The Game, Warriors insider courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Anthony, just taking into the game last night, like it's the New York Knicks, it's Madison Square Garden. This was like the biggest test, obviously, and I know it kind of sucks that Karl-Anthony Towns is out due to personal reasons, so we didn't really get to see the Knicks at their full strength. And you could say the same for the Warriors because they haven't had Jonathan Kuminga, which we'll ask you about a little bit later. But just taking a pulse of this team and where they've been since acquiring Jimmy Butler, since he's been playing as a Golden State Warrior, they're 9-1, obviously, when he plays in a Golden State Warriors jersey. You look at the teams, and I know we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now, you know, the Kings, was a team that kind of was a thorn in their side. They're fighting. They've been hot as of late. The Mavericks, they didn't have Anthony Davis, a lot of their size. You know, the Hornets are the Hornets. The Magic are in a couple games under 500. You lose to a Sixers team. Again, Jimmy didn't play in that game, and you felt like you could have won that one, but Quentin Grimes goes off. You didn't expect that. And again, yeah, you handle, like I said, the Hornets. Biggest win, obviously, in the stretch, but are you looking up here like I am in these upcoming games here at home, starting on Saturday with the Pistons? And then you got the Blazers who are fighting still, got the Kings, Knicks, Nuggets, Bucks. Are we going to find out a lot about this team in the upcoming week and upcoming series of games here at home at Chase Center?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the competition's getting better. If this was their softest portion of the schedule. Honestly, if they had not made the trade, they probably would have gone like over 500 during the stretch. I mean, it was like you said, I mean, it was the Mavs when they're at their lowest. It was the Hornets twice when they're the worst team of basketball right now. There was a lot of wins there. Now they've done it in a much more dominant fashion than we had seen all year, right? There's been blowouts where they're sitting the fourth. The metrics right now would tell you, Steve Kerr mentioned it last night, they're top five offense, top five defense. Like they're doing it in a way that, you know, in a very small sample screams championship contender, but yeah, I want to see them try to play the Nuggets at home on, is that an ABC Saturday night game? Or that might
the
be
Nuggets the are on a Monday. The Knicks are the Saturday night game next week at 5:30.
But I mean, Nuggets game, of all those games, I'm most interested in that because that very easily could be the 6-3 matchup. And like, that's a tough test for a small team. By the way, Jimmy Butler's the tallest player in their starting lineup. And you're talking about maybe going against Nikola Jokic. Yeah, I want to see him against that. That's very different than anybody that they've played so far, including the Knicks last night. So tests are coming, and they should come. We've seen 10 games of Jimmy Butler, 10 games, especially against average to below average opponent doesn't define a team. But all the signs are great. But I mean, we've got to see a whole lot more, at least before I'm willing to be like, yeah, they're definitely going to compete for a West title.
It feels like right now so many elements are just firing on all cylinders. All the role players feel like they know exactly what they're supposed to do. Pod's playing well. Moody's playing, you know, really good. I know the last couple games haven't been as good as what he was prior. Gee making plays. Quentin Post making a couple plays here and there. GB2, obviously, before the injury was looking really good. What's going on with Jonathan Kuminga? Because I'm waiting for him to be added to the mix. Is there any update on the injury? Because I haven't heard a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of trying to report it within all, you know, when I do podcasts or radio hits or stories. I mean, I think it's pretty simple from my understanding. Like, you know, Charlotte was the soft target bait as he was kind of trying to ramp up from what, again, like, was a very bad ankle sprain, which, like, I understand that people are surprised it's taken this long for an ankle sprain, but it was, you know, he was on in a walking boot. He was on a scooter. He was on crutches. Like, this has taken a while. As he ramped up, and again, like I said, soft target date with Charlotte. I thought it was probably going to happen that night. The ankle hasn't felt fully ready. You know, the full burst is there. He's been doing workouts. Every time we go to shoot arounds, to practices, he's afterwards, he's doing three-on-threes. And it's just, you know, the team and Kuminga decided the ankle wasn't quite ready for Charlotte. So they didn't green light him for this back-to-back. I think it's, you know, he has not been officially ruled out of tomorrow's game in Brooklyn. I guess it's possible he returns tomorrow night. It's possible they wait till the early part of the homestand. But that's really where it's at. You will see him soon, but they just haven't done the full green light because the ankle, you know, to Kuminga and to Rick Celebrini and his staff hasn't felt quite fully ready.
So there's been no setbacks or anything as far as you're concerned or as far as you're aware of, Anthony. No setbacks or anything with the ankle in regards to this recovery.
Setbacks is too strong a word. I mean, look, like, is he icing it post-game when I get in there? Yes. Is it clearly still, like, bothering him as he tries to come back from clearly the worst ankle sprain of his life? Yes. But, I wouldn't necessarily consider that a setback. I would consider maybe, like, a slow version of a late-stage recovery. But that's not abnormal, especially for an athlete like Kuminga who – you know, what's his specialty, like lateral quickness, like really, you know, high level bursts to the rim, stuff he has to feel very confident on an ankle that he's coming back from that he missed 2 months on to really burst if he's going to be the effective player he wants to be. So again, setback would, like, that's too concerning of a term because I don't think there's been any type of injury setback. But yes, I can understand that it's been a slow late stage recovery.
Are you as surprised as I am seeing the synergy in the fourth quarter from these guys as quickly as we've seen it? Because this got pieced together at the deadline, and last night's game is a great example. Obviously, Jimmy helps them get into the bonus, into the fourth quarter, which is a huge game changer. But the three-man little, like, triangle they were running last night with Dre and Butler and Curry, and they were flip-flopping who was on that block and moving without the ball and forcing opponents into figuring out who they want to double team. Like, I'm seeing a level of half court offense that's like, wow. I mean, this is why you made the move. Are you surprised it's been this quick and this good so fast?
Yeah, and I do think part of that is, like, everything has come together, like, where Pajemski is playing his best basketball, maybe of his career, really, but certainly, yeah, you know, of his second season. You know, Moody's getting, you know, I think the consolidation part of the trade is maybe getting underrated here, where you know, like, it's just like Steve Kerr doesn't have all these various rotation choices to go to like he did early in the season where, you know, a lot of these guys maybe are out of rhythm because they don't know when or, you know, if they're starting, what type of minutes they're going to get. But the other thing is, I mean, I think a lot of people who are surprised by this trade just didn't realize how good Jimmy Butler was, and particularly as an IQ type player, right? I mean, like, there was concern about spacing in this. I think people just didn't realize the passing, like the subtle playmaking and the attitude he brings to the team, which is just, like, kind of, like, completely reformed them. And obviously, like I said, invigorated Draymond and Steph and unlocked, you know, Pajemski in some lineups. And then the defensive end. To me, they won that game last night on defense. 21 fourth quarter points for the Knicks. And by the end of the game, when, you know, Pajemski's getting those easy breakout layups and Moody had that layup at the end, it, like, literally looked like the Knicks had given up. And I think that was, because they felt like they couldn't score, and I think it was the defense that won it.
Yeah, so you bring up the defense, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, like, seeing Moody do really well against Jalen Brunson. Now, he's a very specific player. A little smaller, but he's thick. He plays very deliberately. Is that the role for Moody? You can't do it against the bigger guys and the more explosive guys, but I thought he really made Jalen Brunson work hard last night in the second half, and I thought that was a great little adjustment by Steve Kerr. Is that maybe a role for him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, but you said it's specific type of players. It's the Hardens, it's the Brunsons, it's the slower, deliberate, you know, because, like, Moody's weakness defensively would be his lateral foot speed. You know, like, okay, they play Memphis, like, you can't just suddenly go, all right, now do what you did to Brunson to John Morant, right?
No, you can't.
No, but, you know, like, and this shouldn't, like, last night shouldn't necessarily surprise anyone, because Moody's best defensive game of his career prior to last night was Brunson last year in New York. Andrew Wiggins was away from the team for about four games last year, as y'all probably remember, on a road trip, and, like, he guarded Jalen Brunson really well, and, like, that has been regularly referenced by people behind the scenes over the last year of, like, you know, where Moody can help defensively is how he guarded Brunson that night. So I think they knew they wanted to have him, you know, on Jalen last night. And to your point, yeah, I think in those certain matchups against specific perimeter players, like, you know, he's going to try hard. He's got crazy wingspan. He's gotten more athletic over the last few years, and, like, he wants it defensively. So, yeah, certain matchups, like, he can be useful.
Okay, this question is going to sound insane as I'm talking to Anthony Slater, Warriors insider for The Athletic right here on 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast, Spinone and Chasky. It's going to sound a little crazy, just given the expectation of these two players, but I'm going to ask it anyways. If I could have more scoring consistency from one of these two players going forward, which one would you pick? And we haven't even seen the guy enter the fold yet, but every time I see Buddy Hield score, like, some three-point makes, like a couple in a row, they just feel so much more impactful than anything else I've seen from this team. So if I can get consistent scoring from either Jonathan Kuminga or Buddy Hield going forward, Anthony Slater, which one is going to pay off more dividends going forward for this team?
You know, I mean, what are the numbers when Buddy Hield scores 15 or more? Isn't it like something crazy?
Yeah, they're just like unbeatable.
Yeah. I mean, his shooting does, like, I feel like every team has, like, one or two of those just, like, bench shooters, you know, even, like, the Celtics. Oh, Hauser hit four threes tonight. Like, you know, that's, you know, basically taking them into unbeatable territory. Draymond has always been like this. When Draymond hits three threes in his career, the Warriors' win percentage is, like, 900 or something. Like, you could say Buddy Hield because of those type of stats and the fact that, like, you know, supplementary shooting opens the floor up for everybody. But to me, their ceiling, if we're talking ceiling, it's like, if you just, like, if Jonathan Kuminga is like an 18 to 20 point per game, like, slashing downhill weapon score, it would signal that he really fit into this, you know, reforming Warriors team. Like, to me, that's the fringe contender version of the Warriors. That's where the ceiling is raised. Because, like, we know what Buddy Hield is. We know he's going to go hot and cold. And on nights he's hot, they're going to be better. But, like, Jonathan Kuminga being what you said, like the really consistent every night scorer, I think vaults them into a different category of a team that they can't be if he is not. So I would answer Kuminga.
Is there anything that you're concerned about over the next couple of weeks that maybe, you know, the winning has kind of masked? I'm looking at, and I'll give you an example while you think about it, you know, they still need a rim protector. You know, it's tough. Like, they need a size and to be able to clear some of these rebounds. I worry about second chance points against certain opponents, you know, down the stretch. Is there something for you, like, you're like, all right, they, you know, they've been winning, but here's the thing I'm really going to key on over the next couple of weeks when they play some tougher opponents?
I mean, with finishing at the rim, you know, most of their best players are not, besides, you know, Kuminga, and we'll see, and that's why I think he matters, like, are not, like, elite rim finishers. Butler historically has been, but he's also, you know, I watched some Bulls highlights of Butler. I mean, he's exploding to the rim. You know, he's 35 now. So he's not, you know, the finisher he used to be. And I do think against better, you know, defenses, veteran defenses, particularly playoff defenses, like, that could be the Achilles heel. As far as second chance points, maybe a little bit. They've weirdly been very good as a rebounding team over the last couple of years, even when playing, you know, very small. Looney's at least off the bench is like kind of a rugged rebounder and an option if you need it. Truth is, I would say the biggest concern about this team is the age. Draymond Green turned 35 last night. Butler is 35. Steph Curry turns 37 later this month. Steph, you know, tweaked an ankle on this trip. You know, the games are starting to pile up a little bit. Butler missed a game with back spasm. Saw him fall a couple times last night and grimace. You know, Draymond, we know, has had back issues. He's had calf issues this year. You know, like, they look really good right now. There is a level of, you know, you see it in sports with the interim coach bump, right? You just get that invigoration in the middle of a season. Well, they got that with a trade. As that wears off a little bit, as they go home, as the games pile up, they have a six-game trip later in the year. Like, you know, do these guys' bodies hold up, and minds hold up, you know, as it gets deeper? That would be, you know, one of my questions.
All right, one more for you, Anthony, before we let you go here. You've been so good to us. We appreciate it. If you're the Oklahoma City Thunder right now, how would you stack the hierarchy of the next remaining contenders that you would fear most in the West? Give me the top three teams in order, if I'm the Oklahoma City Thunder, that I should fear.
Oh, like, you know, out of anybody?
Out of anyone in the West.
I'd say right,
in the West.
Right now, I mean, the Lakers look the most fearsome. What is that, seven in a row? Like, Luka looks like he's getting back to Luka. And, you know, Luka beat them in the playoffs last year in the second round. Kind of hobbled version of Luka beat them in the playoffs. So, like, they would be probably 1A and 1B right now. I'd say it's Denver because, you know, Jokic is the best player in basketball. I think that's, you know, the Thunder would probably argue it's Shea, but, you know, I think most people still think it's Jokic. So I would say those two. And then after that, like, the Warriors are certainly kind of in that second-tier conversation. And if you're of the belief of, like, who Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr have historically been, you know, in playoff settings, you'd probably put them three right now because, you know, the West in a lot of ways is falling apart a little bit around them. Houston is nosediving. The Grizzlies, you know, what's the Jaren Jackson injury update? I meant to look that up, but, you know, he just got injured. Obviously, Dallas would have been their most feared opponent. You know, they have really struggled, the Thunder have, with Dallas, but, like, obviously that's scratched them off the list. So it's not that great under the Thunder, but that is the hierarchy I would probably predict.
For Jaren Jackson Jr., this was the latest on Monday. He suffered a grade 2 left ankle sprain, is considered week to week per the Grizzlies. Yeah. There you go. Anthony, appreciate the time, man, as always. Good stuff, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
That's Anthony Slater, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. So he has Lakers, Nuggets, as far as the fear factor for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then he said there was a gap, and then the Warriors.
It sounds kind of like what I've been saying for the last couple days.
You think there's a huge gap come playoff time, playoff series, between the Warriors, Lakers, and Nuggets?
Look, could the Warriors lose to anyone? Yes.
Okay.
That being said, I just don't fear Memphis and Houston the way that I do those other ones.
I don't think anyone does.
Now, Oklahoma City, I fear, but in this odd, weird way, it's a good matchup for the Warriors because of their style of play.
Sure.
Right? They actually play similar to the way the old OKC teams played, which is your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
Kick out for three.
Yeah.
Though there's a lot of your turn, my turn.
Chet and KD, same body types, basically, too.
Right.
They're players, right?
Yeah. But, like,
saying that Chet was on the level of Kevin Durant there either, not even close, but still a very good player, can get a shot over anyone.
Jaylen at times will, you know, dribble and only he'll touch it. And there'll be times where that happens with Shea, you know? Not that they don't make passes. That's, I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying that they're ball hogs, but there's a lot that's baked into, okay, it's my turn to run the offense. Now it's your turn to run the offense. And then they have a lot of really good shooters. And that's where the Isaiah Joes and some of the different players that they have around them.
Caruso.
They're a really good team. I want to make that very clear. But getting up and down the floor, there's something about that style of play that really meshes with what the Warriors want to do. Conversely, the let's let Jokic walk it up the floor really plays against what the Warriors want to do.
Jokic is always going to get his no matter the team. It's Jamal Murray that's the guy that's the X factor always.
Well, let's not sleep on Aaron Gordon. No, very rugged.
I'm not sleeping on him, but if Jamal Murray is playing at a championship level like he was 2 years ago, they might win the West. They probably will if Jamal Murray's playing like he was.
No, I was going specifically in the matchup against the Warriors.
Absolutely.
Where like Aaron Gordon, I could see giving them fits with all of the second chance rebounding. He's a load.
No, absolutely. And
he's a load.
I bring up Jamal Murray only because he wasn't there when the Warriors played in the first round a couple years ago.
Neither was Michael Porter
Jr. Right, and those were huge misses for them. And Michael Porter, given his size, and when he is shooting, a lot like when Buddy Hield, again, Michael Porter's a starter, but you get what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
When he's knocking down his threes, it's like, all right, we're not going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just different.
He's there when he's your third scorer.
Right.
You know, yeah, he's awesome. Like, he's perfect in that role. No, that's a good point. I just, that's why I'm looking at it. I'm like, if you can avoid the Laker, Denver kind of side of the bracket, I think that's the best avenue for them.
Remember, folks, the Golden State Warriors under Steve Kerr in a first round series have never lost in the Western Conference playoffs. Never. They've only lost one series ever in the Western Conference playoffs. You know who that was? It's the Lakers a couple years ago. That was it. It's the only time it's ever happened.
These stats. That's like saying, like, Ohio State hasn't lost to Purdue since the 60s.
Well, probably, but again.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
no, but I'm
so many new aspects.
I say that because they're still going to be a tough out no matter what.
Sure.
But they have to get there because we know what their series are or the record is in play-in games. Not good. Never won one. So there's that.
Look, this has gone from, wow, can they even get into the box, to who do you fear, right, in the West?
That's kind of what we're talking about.
What a difference the calendar makes.
You know what? Antonio in Oakland, he says the Warriors fear no one. Oh. How about that? Antonio, baby, one of the most unbiased voices we ever had here at 95.7 The Game, tells it like it is. What's up, eh? What you got?
Yeah, man, the Warriors, they ain't got no right to, you know, fear none of these guys. You know, we got a championship mystique. And Jimmy Butler, you know, he went to the YMCA tournament finals with the Mickey Mouse a couple years ago. He went to the real finals versus the Nuggets. So he know what it takes, too, man. So at the end of the day, you know, that ISO ball stuff with Luka and LeBron, you know, they're the two biggest whining, crybaby guys in the league. So it's like, hopefully the refs don't, you know, take their side during the playoffs. But I agree, we should try to avoid the Nuggets and Lakers, you know, until conference finals. But at the end of the day, I think you know, I really hope the Nuggets and Lakers will face each other before we got to face either one. That'll be the you know, the wish right there, man. Just keeping it real. But we got Steph, Butler, Kuminga. I mean, at the end of the day, we can match up with anybody, man. Like we beat LeBron's freaking 2017 with Kyrie and Kevin Love and all that. Sure, we had Durant, but at the end of the day, Steph got victories over Luka and LeBron in the West Finals and Finals. So it's all to the good, man. At the end of the day, those guys got turnovers. They got flaws. They're not perfect. They're going to be hunted on defense come playoff time. I'm telling you. And we can beat any team. I don't fear none of these teams. Maybe the Cavs or the Celtics to an extent, but none in the West. Sorry, Charlie.
There you go.
Sorry, Charlie.
That's Antonio in Oakland, one of the all-timers. Sorry, Charlie. Sorry. Is that to Charles Barkley he's saying?
I don't know
sorry,
who Chuck. The Charlie is.
I think it was to Charles
it's
Barkley.
Not Charlie Hoffman, right?
No.
The guy on the PGA Tour?
Not Charlie Hoffman. Not, who's my guy? Charlie Blackman. Oh, is he still playing, by the way?
He just got, I believe, his contract had just ended. I think he retired.
I think he just retired this last year.
He's an employee now of the Rockies. Yeah,
him
he's
an all-timer. Tyler Estrada.
Special advisor.
Why did he always get a huge hit against the Giants every season? Once a year, he just have one amazing triple.
I bet his
out.
Career average is somewhere in the 270s, 280s.
Course field.
I think it might be more than that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.